And now, the internationally recognized, critically acclaimed, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted's of Beverly Hills, bring the family on Sunday for our slow-roasted, all-day cooked prime rib. Man, it's good.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
You were talking about harassment of your family?
We just wanted to have Phil, the harassment stopped. The bottom line, I think any man would feel the same. I don't want my wife bothered. I don't want my family bothered. When this new school went in Beverly Hills, it's a brand new middle school.
Is it a public school?
That is correct. And the problem we had, I wasn't sure that we wanted to send Katie and Josh there because they have and had a tendency to impose on your time. And they were sending letters and they were making phone calls. And they, what I basically said to them is, I don't want my family bothered. I don't want my wife bothered anymore.
What were the letters? Were they, you were saying, asking for donations?
Well, the letters were asking for money. They were bothering us and my wife with requests for money for the schools. They wanted us to donate money for this. They wanted us to work on cleaning the school up. They wanted us to work on helping
But they were asked, this was voluntary, right?
But the point is, it was an imposition on our time. The letters and phone calls never stopped about these things. And I can tell you, Phil, with the taxes that I pay, federal and state, I could buy and sell the average guy who complains about paying taxes with all due respect. And they've been bothering me, and they were bothering my wife. I had a conversation with this guy, Persons, who's over at the school board. And we're going to send Katie and Josh to the school. And I said to him, we had some heated words, too. But I said to him that I would donate $13,000 to the school to buy football equipment, uniforms for the kids.
Very generous.
And also to put lockers in the locker room. And he and I had a heated exchange, and I felt that we wanted the school to reflect that I told this gentleman that we would want the school to reflect our family name. It was the only thing that I was asking, because I just wanted my wife not bothered anymore.
So, in other words, you called him and donated the $13,000 so they wouldn't bother you. Isn't this kind of what schools do, though?
In what respect? I mean,
well, we get a lot of, I don't know, letters. Hey, will you help paint? Will you help this? Will you help that?
One of the things you have to understand, Phil, is I'm Ted Bell. I've got one of the largest steakhouses in America, and my wife is a very busy businesswoman herself. So I said to this guy, we'll donate the money. And I felt my wife, Marcy, felt, in fact, our family, in exchange for our gift to the school, what we asked was reasonable, and that would be to honor the name of my family. My father and mother put Ted's of Beverly Hills on the map in Beverly Hills. And so to rename the school Ted Bell Middle School, and in exchange for that, we were happy to pick up the cost of the uniforms and equipment and so on.
And he rejected the idea, I take it.
He rejected it in a way that I found very abrupt. I got to tell you, this effort on our family's part to rename the new middle school after me is driven in part by another fear, and that has to do, quite frankly, with my health.
What's going on?
I'm afraid that I may have a form of cancer, and I simply want to ensure that my family's legacy lives on.
Ted, what has the doctor told you?
Well, I'm having some discomfort urinating. It could be prostate cancer. I haven't been to a doctor yet, but if I have prostate cancer, and this school board guy Persons refuses to name the school after me, and it burns when I relieve myself, I think we got a problem.
All right, can we start back at the beginning? You want the new middle school named after you because you and your family donated money for the equipment and uniforms for the new football team.
That's it in part, Phil. Remember who I am. With all due modesty, I'm Ted Bell. I own one of the largest steakhouses in America. As I said, the taxes I pay could buy and sell the average guy. They've been bothering me, and they've been bothering my wife with a request for money for the school, and I want the harassment of our home to stop. To stop the harassment of my wife, I donated money for the football team in exchange for their naming the school after me. But I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm doing this primarily for my wife. And
you're characterizing this as harassment. They often send letters to parents asking for donations. The point I'm trying to make. Hold on for just a minute.
Well, I've got a couple opinions on that, too.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, a prominent businessman who has asked that the new middle school in his neighborhood be named after him in exchange for his donation of money for an athletic program.
But you're telling only part of the story. Also, to stop the harassment of my wife, who has...
I think you got to be careful when you say harassment. If a school asks for money or to donate time for cleaning up schools...
Look, you may be used to getting letters like that. The average guy may be used to getting letters like that, and for all I know, and it's a crazy world, maybe some of the people listening to your show actually go out and clean up the school or volunteer for these things. I don't know. It's you know, as they say, truth is stranger than fiction. But I'm Ted Bell. My name means something. Forget about the fact that it was my father's name. To be honest with you, my father was an alcoholic and was not worth... If he walked in here today, I wouldn't give him the time of day. So really, it's about what I did, and I think it is only right that they named this school after me, because really, Josh and Katie will benefit too, my children. Because when they go to school, and the other children say, "Is Ted Bell your father?" they can say yes. That helps them at school. The other kids will then give them respect. And that means my kids will be able to gain things from the other kids. And this is how you learn to go through life. I would never have asked to do this were it not for the fact that they were harassing my wife. And again, Phil, if I have cancer and they don't name that middle school after me, I don't know what to say.
You're afraid you have cancer. Are you talking about prostate cancer?
It could be, yes.
Because you're having discomfort when you're relieving yourself.
That is correct, yes.
Have you been, you haven't been to a doctor?
I don't have the time to go to, I'll go to a doctor when I have the time to go to a doctor. Let me tell you something. When you stand to relieve yourself and it burns, you know what I'm talking about. It could very well be prostate cancer. And I donated $13,000 to that school for their brand new football program.
Now, the 13 grand goes toward the uniforms and equipment.
Uniforms, equipment, they need new lockers, and they also have a weight training board in the locker room for the kids. The boys do weight training. They want to see who's, I don't know what it is, how much weight each guy is lifting, and they keep their names. So they wanted a board. We donated that. Why this is important for your listeners is this. In your town, there is a prominent member of the community. It would behoove, I guess, all of them to save themselves the trouble of having to be litigated against, to just go ahead and name things. If they want something named after them, for instance, do it. Because they could have cancer, they could be dying of a disease, and how are you going to feel? And these are the things that are on my mind.
One thing you said about having the school named after you because you've donated this money.
And keep in mind why I donated the money.
Well, because you said they were harassing your wife.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, all right, let's leave that alone for a minute. I don't know that letters from a school asking if you'll donate your time to clean up...
But Phil, you're talking... Hold on for a minute. Remember who I am. I'm Ted Bell, okay? I've dealt with every kind of scumbag there is. In building one of the most prosperous restaurant chains in America... I've had to deal with some real scumbags. I can tell you, from meat deliverers to the people that handle our liquor to the people that I hire. Some of the people that I've hired in the past as servers and as hostesses are some of the worst animals this you could have possibly imagined. So I know what I'm talking about. And when I say someone's harassing my wife, someone's harassing my wife.
When they send letters to the home asking for donating money, it's not necessarily harassment. The other thing I want to say is this. Your children being named, seeing the school is named after their father, you say will get respect from the other students.
It's something that they can have when they go to school and the kids say, "Oh, you're Josh or you're Katie Bell. Is that your daddy, Ted Bell? Is that who the school's named after?" And they can say, "Yes, he is." And the children will give them a deference that will make my children's life easier, which every father hopes for his child.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Ted Bell, I should say. This is Jay. Jay, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I've got a solution for Mr. Bell. Why doesn't he take his $13,000 and send his kids to private school? The public schools don't need him. And
I considered that, but the renaming effort was not open at our private school. The private school here is Viewpoint.
Build your own school. Name it the Ted Bell School.
Why should I have to build my own school?
Why should the public school have to put up with your buffoonery?
Well, wait a second. I just donated uniforms, equipment, a locker, and so on for the school. What do I get out of the deal?
You know, I put about 18 years worth of sweat equity putting my kids through public school, and I participated.
Oh, so you're one of those guys. You were one of those guys who went and swept up. Is that it?
Yeah, and stayed overnight with them and had campouts. I spent time with my children instead of buying them some bauble.
What about the?
But you call buying a school of football uniforms a bauble, sir? Then I don't know what
no,
kind
I'm
of work.
No, I'm just saying you're trying to buy something that you should earn respect.
No,
not
I have
buy
not. No, I'm not buying anything. They were harassing my wife with letters asking us to, if we would volunteer
throw
to help.
Throw letters
paint
the in the trash. A letter
okay.
is not harassment. You get a letter in the mail, you throw it in the trash.
When you see it, it bothers you, and so you have to respond to it.
So your wife was being harassed by request. This man Jay did what you call sweat equity, Jay. Did you consider that harassment if you got a request from the school to do some of this work?
No, because I believe in the public school system, and
I do
believe
too.
It was.
I believe in it too.
I believe it was a way to contribute that helped strengthen.
I don't know why it is. I can't have a school named after me. Other schools are named after guys.
Yeah, usually when they're dead. Why don't you do them a favor?
You know, you're a funny guy, Jay. I could use you working my bar. Where you live?
All right.
I live in Lansing.
No, if he wants to insult me, I can insult him right back.
Yeah,
you live where? You live where?
Lansing, Michigan.
I'm sorry to hear that. Why don't you come down to my steakhouse? I'll treat you to a Ted. No, seriously, dinner's on me.
Well, he's a long way from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Now, you come out to L.A., you tell Vader D you're Jay, the smartass from Lansing.
I'm glad to do that,
right.
Ted.
Honest to God, I'll treat you and your wife to dinner.
Thank you.
All right. That was nice, Jay. Or, I mean, Ted.
Remember one thing, Phil. You know, the guy's, you know, I don't know about that guy, you know. What does he pay in taxes? What he pays in taxes, no wonder he put in sweat equity. What the average guy pays in taxes for the public school, he better go out and start painting a building or sweeping up. I'm Ted Bell. You see, you're not getting that.
And I know who you are.
But you really don't get the essence of that. When I say I'm Ted Bell, what is the core of that? What it is I pay a lot in taxes that I expect to get retribution.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell joins us. He has donated some $13,000 for a new set of uniforms and equipment for the kids' football program at the middle school, which I think is very generous, but in exchange he wants the school to be named after him. Now, he's contacted the Board of Education, or the local school board, I should say. He feels it's only fair because he thinks their requests at asking for money and asking for volunteer time has been harassing to his family. I want to ask him also a little bit more about this cancer thing, Janice. He feels he's coming down with cancer, so he wants to have this named after him. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Ted Bell joins me from Ted's of Beverly Hills this Friday evening to talk about an effort to get his kids' middle school named after him because he donated $13,000 to a football need, equipment and uniform need, as well as a fear that you have cancer and that you want your legacy to be insured.
Well, before you go to a phone call, can I make just one more comment?
Go ahead.
I want to talk a little bit more about what it is to have a school named after your father. My children, Josh and Katie, who I would, obviously I'm like any father. I love them and I would commit murder to protect them. This is just an effort on a father's part to ensure even more that their life is a good life. And I'm sorry if there's some fathers out there that can't do that for their children. I'm not calling them lazy men. I'm not calling them unsuccessful men. They are less successful than me, and therefore they're less able to protect their children. What I'm trying to do...
Well, I don't think that that's the case, less able to protect them.
Well, I'm trying to ensure that when Katie and Josh walk into that school, people aren't going to think that they can talk to them any way that they want. Because if I find out that that school's named after me, and my kid gets his shirt tail pulled out, or somebody tries to, you know, put a booger in his lettuce or his salad or whatever, I'm Ted Bell. The school will be named after me. This is just my effort. And plus, as I said, it burns when I urinate. And there are things in life that become a little bit more precious when you fear for your safety and for your health.
All right, 1-800-449. I think you need to go to a doctor, though. 1-800-449-8686. And we'll go over here to Marty. Go ahead, Marty.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just here to talk to Mr. Bell or to talk about this issue that while I'm all for you getting something named after you, and if you're such a successful businessman,
yes, sir.
Don't you think 13 grand is a little on the cheap to get an entire school named after you?
No, I don't, because, number one, I don't see anybody else doing it. Now, the school is currently named Benchley, and it's named after some writer. What did he do?
Is it named after Peter Benchley, the writer of Jaws?
No, I don't think so.
His father?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe that's something that needs to be looked into.
Well, you know what you need to look into is renting Jaws and, you know, watching that again, I guess. What I'm trying to say is that this is something that I think is meaningful because of my children. And,
you sure it's not named after Peter or Robert Benchley?
No, it's not. I don't know who it's named after. It's just some guy that had nothing to do with the school. I've got something to do with the school. Why don't I get it named after me? That's what I'm saying.
Here is Aaron. Aaron, go ahead. Aaron?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Mr. Ted, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
Ted, due to my career, I just retired in March. I have dealt with the Arthur Blanks and the Candlers and CEOs of major corporations.
I don't know who they are.
Well, Arthur Blank is the guy who owns the Falcons and Home Depot and you know, multi-millionaire.
You mean Home Depot?
Okay?
Home Depot.
Right.
You said Home Depot.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, if you work with the guy, you ought to know what his business is called. That's all I'm saying. See, these are the things, I don't mean to give you a hard time. These are the things that I notice in an employee. If he called my place Ted of Beverly Hill, I don't know that I'd want him around, you know.
Well, you know what it is? I have never really heard somebody who was really had a lot of money like you say you do.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That is as arrogant as you are and wants to use taxpayers' money to build that school in order to put your name on it for a cheap price of $13,000.
Wait a minute. How much is that costing the taxpayer?
Change.
How much is it costing the taxpayer to put my name on that school as opposed to me dying of cancer and being able to give them the football uniforms?
Do you know
for a fact that you are dying from cancer?
That's the question I put to you, Ted, do you?
I am very uncomfortable urinating. I know the signs of prostate cancer.
That wasn't the question. Do you know that you are dying from cancer? This is the question.
What if I am?
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Have you been to a doctor?
I'm just asking this question as a theoretical question. If I'm dying from cancer, wouldn't I then be able to have the school named after me?
No, because it's taxpayers' money. The taxpayers
Are
own
you
the
kidding?
School.
Well, and how come
$13,000 is not enough money? If you got all this money, Ted,
why do they name schools?
Jump it up, bud.
Okay, how much money did Thomas Jefferson give to half the high schools that are named after him?
How much did Thomas Jefferson give to his country? How much have you
True.
Give?
1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell wants his kid's school named after him. It's Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertaining. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tats of Beverly Hills.
Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I've been talking to you about having my son's middle school named after me. I may have cancer, but I also donated quite a bit of money to my son's school. I want you to consider that there are those of us who are in a higher tax bracket who do a great deal of charitable contribution. And to have a school named after you, so that your name is known long after you die. And if I do have prostate cancer and I'm not around for Josh and for Katie to have a daddy, like a lot of the kids out there will still have daddies. What will my children have? They'll be able to look at the front of that school and say the name Ted Bell, Ted Bell's Middle School. And that's all I'm asking.
All right, well, this portion, that's, Ted, I understand that, okay?
Well, the questions you're asking and the questions your listeners are asking, first of all, I understand they don't know who I'm Ted Bell. I'm known in this town for a lot of reasons. The fact that when I stand in the bathroom in the morning and blood may come out.
I understand you're emotional.
I'm very emotional about it, yes.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Kathy. Kathy, go ahead.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, first of all, I hope that your health is good because I think that that would be the most important thing for your children.
Well, let me ask you a question, Kathy. Have you ever, and I don't mean to be indelicate, have you ever gotten up from the toilet, looked back, and seen pure red?
No, but if I did, I would be hustling to a doctor right away take care of my children rather than worrying about naming a middle school after me.
I'm just saying, I'm going to take care of business. And look, nobody needs to tell me how to take care of my kids. I take care
of
my kids great.
You know, I would just like to suggest to you that if you spent some time with your children, involved in their activities, I'm just returning from my son's football game. It's the most rewarding thing that I can do.
And your son may have a uniform on him because some wealthy man donated the money to buy that uniform. See, that's
no,
what I
bought
did.
It for him.
That's what I did for our school.
I bought it for him.
I donated the money for the football uniforms for our school.
Well, you know,
and I'm Ted Bell.
Who cares?
Who cares? If I bought the uniform on your son's back, you better care. I can tell you that.
What does that mean, she better care?
Well, I would think that the lady would owe me.
Oh, I feel sorry for you, I feel sorry for your children.
Look at the logic. If you're going to a public school and you know of a benefactor who has purchased the football uniform that your son is wearing,
all of the people in my community are the benefactors.
But if you went to a school where it was one man who did it, as in the case of my son's school, wouldn't you feel beholden to that man? Wouldn't you want to do something for him?
I don't think that I would be that egotistical that I would have to have my name on a building.
I'm not asking about you, Kathy, I'm talking about me. If I bought the uniform on your son's back, wouldn't you feel in some small way...
That you had to name the middle school after me? No, I wouldn't feel
that way.
All right,
let's say you didn't name the school after me. Let's say if I asked for some... And I would never do this, but I'm saying if you were single and I were single.
What are you talking about?
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm saying, what if I asked you for your company?
I would tell you no, because I think you're a buffoon.
Can I ask you, have you been monotone all of your life, or is this something that came down recently?
All right, Ted.
I'll see you later. Jesus, boring.
Look at...
Ma'am, the only thing you contribute to your son's team is making sure your lawn chair marks the 50-yard line.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Justin, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask this Bell fella, you know, I'm 20 years old,
Justin,
you know,
I'm
from
Ted
Alabama,
Bell.
You know, I'm from what he would consider lower class.
I'm Ted
know,
Bell.
How can you expect for, you know, somebody to put your name on front of a building just because you donated, you know, $15,000 or some odd dollars or whatever, just for some football uniform?
Look, Justin, down in Alabama, football is very important. I happen to know because I was a very close friend of Red Bear Bryant's. And I will tell you that when you donate money for football uniforms, a man gets respect in Alabama, unless things have changed down there since I was last there having dinner at Mr. and Mrs. Bryant's home. And I will tell you, Justin, that football, I'm trying to make important here in California. That's why I donated the money for those football uniforms. What is wrong with me asking of a lady whose son is wearing a uniform that I put on his back, what's wrong with me asking her out to dinner, having a drink with her?
You know, the Bible also says to do your good for not seen of men. Do you believe in the Bible?
Can I ask you, Justin, are you a football player?
Yes, I am.
All right. Suppose
I'm a really big Alabama
All right. Yeah, hey.
Right.
Well, I happen to know, I know Bear personally, even though he's dead. I mean, I still feel that I know him. But Justin, if I bought the uniform that was on your back, don't you think your mother would at least owe me a drink?
Well, what are you?
Exactly not. You know, there's a lot of Alabama football alumni for the University of Alabama, and you don't see none of them begging for their names to be put up on the building, and they're dying out every day.
The guy that's the school's named after, John Alabama, who was one of the top...
What do you mean, John Alabama?
That's who it's named after. Are you crazy? What, do you think they just came up with the name Alabama? You didn't know that, did you, Justin? I know more about your state and your school than you do, and I think that that's... I think that says something about things.
You may know more about me, but I know more morally about stuff than you do.
All right, let me ask you this. What's the difference between...
uniforms and then you want the name on front of a building? That is so egotistical. You're out in left field here.
Hey, wait a minute. What's the difference between crawfish and prime rib?
Wait, I mean, come
on. 1, 2, 3. What's the difference between prime rib and crawfish?
Ears.
Ears?
Are they going to
put
a prime rib
crawfish
beside your name on that school?
Holy Jesus, ears.
He didn't say ears. He said, who cares?
No, he said crawfish has ears.
No, he did not. Justin, I appreciate your phone call.
I'm not done with this kid.
Wait, we're all done. Thank you very much, Justin.
No, wait. Listen, kid.
Now, wait a second. Let me.
If I buy you a football uniform, don't you think your mother should at least invite me in for a drink and put some music on?
My mom is more of a Christian lady than to buy a man a drink to begin with.
No, I'm not talking about anything other than the fact that she'd invite me in, she'd put on some capris and put on some... put the hi-fi on.
You know what?
What is
you
this,
are
1956?
I'm crazy.
You're crazy.
All right, thank you.
Where do you get these big...
Yeah, the same place I got you, man. This portion of the Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now do your commercial and get out of here.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
You know, we put our name on that new middle school. We're also going to have the menu right under it. Ted's at Beverly Hills Middle School this Sunday night. Prime rib, all day roasted, $6.99.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your...
We want to put our meat in your beep. All right, so there it is. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills and that middle school controversy, which we'll keep you abreast of. He wants to have the school named after him. Ted's of Beverly Hills Middle School? Just Ted Bell Middle School. And 13 G's for football uniforms ought to do the job. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight we have producer Tony Neal joining us. Brand new reality show called Beauty's Only Skin Deep he'll be talking about. And we'll also have Lloyd on from last night, a little flashback. Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts. And our mailbag ahead on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Marvy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight?
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for Life Imitates Phil. You know, this is a bit that we do. Occasionally, people will see something in the news and they'll say, wait a minute, I heard that on Phil's show. That happens a lot. This program, whether we know it or not, whether we plan it that way, we predict stuff. That's what that lady got to say on that television show, that Jamaican woman. I predict stuff. I mean, what's her name? Chloe? Chloe? Clueless? All right, so here is a letter from a listener of ours sending this news story, and this news story reflects something that was actually on our show, only it happened a long time ago, and the news story happened just recently. Dig this. Dear Phil Henry Show, I think this might qualify as a life-imitating Phil moment. If not, it's pretty close. A rabbit with its tail on fire ran into a shed, causing a fire. Apparently, in England, investigators think a fire at a cricket club was caused by a burning bunny rabbit. It's being blamed on the rabbit that was hiding in a pile of branches stacked up for a bonfire. Moments after members of the ground crew lit it, the rabbit ran out with its tail on fire and dashed into the shed. Now, here's the remainder of the gentleman's story, gentleman's request. Now, that's a real event. It happened in Devizes, England, August 13th. The guy says, I swear that a couple of weeks ago you had a guy named Jeff Dowder saying that rabbits started wildfires because of discharge from static electricity as they ran through the brush. And he knows it's true because his friend who dropped acid saw the whole thing. All right, now, the man goes on to say, I swear that's got to be one of the funniest bits of the year, and I'm glad I saw this news item so I could plug it myself. Backstage pass holder Wes, P.S. San Diego ain't that bad.
Yeah, right.
So, Wes, we're going to play that for you, man. This is Jeff Dowder, who mentioned that the wildfires out west were caused by rabbits running through the high brush, the static electricity from their fur interacting with the dry air, touching off fires. Here is Jeff Dowder as life imitates film. This is the fire season, Professor Dowder, and there's going to be a lot of fires out west and in wherever there is dry brush. And I know they're now beginning to enlist the aid of weather satellite technology, etc., to try to track some of this. And I was wondering what you could perhaps fill in terms of the blanks in this.
Well, let's be very clear about what caused a forest fire. Once you know what caused forest fire, then you're able to go down there and keep it from happening. But the thing that caused a forest fire that people don't know, and I got a very good friend of mine, Toby Bo, who worked at Temple City Animal Hospital for 2 years, and he read up on it. When it gets very dry, a lot of the high brush, a lot of the high weeds, okay, Mr. Henry, okay?
Yes, I'm following you.
Okay. A lot of the high weeds get very dry. Now, in the low-lying flatland foothill areas, as you get up into the higher crested alpine areas, there is a fairly significantly large jackrabbit population. A community could number anywhere from 1,000 jackrabbits to 50 to 53,000 jackrabbits in a significant area. I don't know if you've ever seen a jackrabbit. They get moving. You know, they haul ass, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them. I got them around my house.
Yeah. Exactly. The fur on a jackrabbit, as he's hauling ass through these weeds, gets a little spark of static electricity. Have you ever seen the static electricity on a pair of slacks? And
yes, I have.
Okay, little spark of electricity goes. Now the jackrabbit will, at that moment, burst into flames. Now you got a flaming rabbit that's just hauling ass and setting everything on fire. Okay?
Now hold on for a minute, man. I just want to...
Yeah.
You're telling me that the fur from the jackrabbit, as he goes through the weeds, creates static electricity, and the jackrabbit bursts into flames?
Yes, sir, that's right. So now you've got this bunny that's just, like, completely burning up, and it's touching off, you know, trees as it goes by. Toby Bowes, now he's camping with a friend of his, okay, they're up there doing some camping, also do some brown trout fishing. He also, and I don't probably shouldn't say this, but he took a hit of acid. He said it was, like, unreal. And on any given night, he said, man, you wouldn't believe it, I saw like 3-4 bunnies on fire. It's just going, woo, man. They're touching off trees and everything.
Well, if that's the case, then your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
What?
If that's the case, your friend was in the middle of a forest fire.
Well, he didn't make any comment on that specifically, but...
Well, what do you mean he didn't make any comment on it? Look, if he's seeing 4 or 5 flaming rabbits touching off trees...
Well, again, like I said, it's, you know, I don't have the full story, but he's up there... And he took a hit of acid. Next thing you know, he's got rabbits that are on fire. Just boom, boom, boom. And that's when Toby said, I get it. Okay, this is what's going down. The rabbit gets on fire.
Wait a minute.
What?
Are you telling me your friend cooked this up on acid?
Well, but see, you got to understand something, Mr. Henry. Acid will take you to the molecular level of consciousness.
No, wait a minute. I just want to be clear. Your friend takes a hit of acid and starts imagining that flaming rabbits are setting off trees.
Well, think about it, man. I mean, what's wrong with it?
What do you mean, static electricity from the bunny fur?
It does, man. If it's that dry and the bunny fur touches it off, you get acres of trees up in flames before you can say, hey, time for another bong hit. Because what's happening, man, is all of that dead growth, it goes up. The rabbit doesn't know. The rabbit doesn't care.
He hallucinated the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's right, man. Yeah, he just came up with the idea of a rabbit, you know, bursting into flames, just like that.
No, he did it with the help of LSD.
Well, whatever, man. I mean, you called me up, so...
Where are you right now?
At a pond.
You're at a pond?
Yeah. Look at that. You see that, Chris? Okay, a rabbit just went through. Okay, there it is. There's the flames. So you can kiss my you-know-what, man.
What do you mean, a rabbit just...
A rabbit just hauled ass through, man. Now there's fire.
Is the rabbit on fire?
what's left of him. Yeah, he's cooking over there now, man. The rabbits are all cooked up. But that's okay, Mr. Talk Show Host. You know what's going down, so that's fine. Give me some more coffee, man. Give me some more of that sangria.
Life imitates Phil. That's from a couple of weeks ago. Jeff Dowder and bunny rabbits are causing the fires by the static electricity off of their fur interacting with the dry air hitting the high weeds. Well, guess what? A couple of weeks later, a news story out of London, England, that a flaming rabbit burned down a shed at a cricket match. It's kind of sad, though, man. The guy lit a bonfire and a little rabbit was in there. His tail was on fire. Oh, well. Some guy stomped it out, I'm sure. Stomped the rabbit out, but stomped out the fire. So that's Life Imitates Phil, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, we have Tony Neal, a Hollywood TV producer with a new reality show idea that I think is really going to, he says anyway, is going to be real different, as Tony likes to say. Jeff Dowder will be back with us tonight with his Olympic thoughts, and as the Olympics wrap, how much more of the Olympics is left? Probably not, can't be that much more. Now that they're into the track and field, it's almost over, right?
Monday's closing ceremonies.
I wonder what kind of extravaganza they'll have. I don't know if anybody remembers the 84 Olympics. I went to the 84 Olympics because, yeah, I'm that old. Well, I mean, you could have been a kid. You'd still be a young guy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, was it? How old were you, Mark? 8? Anyway, it was a gas. I mean, the 84 Olympics were really a lot of fun, even though the Russians didn't come because they boycotted us because we boycotted them. And, yeah, it's lame. It was really cool. I was at the track and field event where, does anybody remember when Mary Slaney fell down because Zola Budd stepped on her foot? Yeah, I was right in front of that. I mean, I wasn't right in front of it. I was way up at the rim of the Coliseum, but I looked down and I saw Slaney drop and then roll over and start crying and crap. And little Zola Budd ran barefoot and she just fell to pieces. Zola Budd fell to pieces because Mary Slaney was her idol. And Slaney had nothing good to say about this poor kid who didn't mean to step on her. But as it turned out, Slaney ran into Bud's lane to try to cut her off. So she really basically ran right into Zola Bud's feet. In the meantime, while these two were going at it and everybody thought the race was between them, some real butch Romanian broad just took right off, man. This blonde, I'll never forget, blonde hair streaking. And she wound up winning the thing. What else did I see at that? Man, I saw Evander Holyfield when he was an Olympian. And Pernell Whitaker when he was an Olympian at the prize fights. Saw that Canadian. Who's the guy from Canada, Janice? Willie DeWitt, I saw him. And then I can't remember the rest because me and Toby Bowe had a hit of acid. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. I do want to mention the Olympic basketball effort when I come back. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Tony Neal coming up too.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Later on tonight, we have Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts and maybe a visit from Chef Carl Cedilli. I don't know. We understand he may be with us. Also, our mailbag. And don't forget our website, www.philhendryshow.com. What's hot and what's not in television? The topic of a little brief discussion we'll have here with producer Tony Neal, who joins us. And a new reality show. Correct, Tony?
A brand new reality show, Phil, yes. And one that we hope is going to transcend the level of reality television that we don't think has had the redeeming social quality that we think that television should have.
All right, now, what is the marriage? You say this is a marriage of something exciting and cliffhanging with something we deal with every day, which is beauty. Beauty being only skin deep. Why is it called that?
We taped the pilot in April, and we had a great deal of interest from Fox. I spoke with Guy Berman just the other day, so this is going to get on the air. We have three lovely ladies, and one attractive, but also very intelligent and successful young man. But this has a bit of a twist. All three ladies, throughout the 3 days that they interact with this young bachelor, if you will, have their faces veiled. We have a very soft, neutral veil across the faces of these young women.
So you can't see their faces?
You can see their faces. And for 4 days, our young bachelor...
He wines them and dines them? It's like The Bachelor?
It's The Bachelor, but it's got a socially redeeming twist. as I mentioned. Remember, you can't see their faces. Now, our bachelor, whose name, by the way, is Kevin Staley, he's from East Lansing, Michigan, he attended the University of Michigan, has agreed, contractually, and all the contestants will agree contractually, that the bachelorette he picks, he will propose marriage to. Now, this is real different. This is very interesting. Unlike most of your reality programs, we're taking this now to another level. He's got to propose marriage to these young ladies.
All right, now, I don't want to take your thunder away from you, but he's going to propose marriage to them before he sees their faces?
Well, let me get to that. This is a very different kind of program. Now, he hasn't seen their faces, but he must propose marriage.
Based upon what he knows about them as people.
Based upon what he knows about them as the young ladies going out with him, we have them doing a variety of activities, from visits to the beach, playing golf, visiting a nightclub, attending a musical concert, and of course, just relaxing time, picnicking. We have a beautiful segment that we filmed at the Hana Ranch in Hana, Maui, where they're having a beautiful afternoon picnicking there on the cliffs of Hana. So he takes them to the beach. The girls, by the way, have gorgeous figures. But he doesn't know what they look like. And this plays to something very primal in all of us. We want to see the eyes of people. If we can't see their eyes, we don't know who they are. And without seeing their faces, he must propose marriage after getting to know one of these three ladies.
Now, this is kind of like the dating game, isn't it, to a degree?
It is and it is. The dating game, you didn't know what you were getting in terms of who the young lady was or the young man was that you were picking. But it doesn't have any of the drama. It didn't have any of the drama that our program has. This is real different. And we don't edit. Unlike Survivor or many of these other reality shows that do a liberal amount of editing. Because, frankly, Survivor is not that very well-paced a program. So you have to do a lot of cutting. We don't have to cut. In fact, editing would negate an awful lot of the excitement of our program. So the girls have very gorgeous figures, but what do their faces look like?
All right.
Now, before we began production, we contacted Dr. Arthur Hunter. Are you ready for this? He is a top plastic surgeon, a rhinoplasty surgeon at Beverly Hills. We wanted him to refer us to young women who had very good bodies. Athletic bodies, attractive figures, but who had been recently or not badly scarred in a fire or an automobile accident.
Oh, man.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that it's very different. At the end of the week...
Oh, boy.
It's. I can tell you, this is the kind of reality show that the Mark Burnetts of the world pray at night to God that they thought of. At the end of the week... It comes time to choose the new Mrs. Staley. We asked Kevin to walk up to one of these young ladies and choose her by lifting her veil. Now, that is interesting program. Would you agree?
So then he discovers if he's chosen one of the girls that was scarred. Are all three of them scarred?
No, only two of the girls have been badly disfigured in an automobile accident or in a fire. In the case of two of our girls, both of them had been involved in very serious automobile accidents. And they'd had some reconstructive surgery, but it really didn't take. So they're very badly disfigured. And it's very interesting.
So then he discovers which one?
Isn't it? And we see his reaction. Now, it's real different. We don't edit like they do on Survivor, because their show is essentially, as I said, very slow-paced. We don't edit because our audience knows. The audience knows two of the girls is very badly burned or disfigured. We don't edit, and we get Kevin's reaction when he lifts the veil. What do you think of that? That is a reality show that has drama. It has... It's absolute cliffhanging material.
I don't even want to ask you.
You're going to find out when it goes on the air. I'm not going to tell you. I can tell you this. We get some fantastic footage. We've got some real drama.
And he proposed marriage to the girl?
He has to. He's contractually obligated to propose marriage, yes.
Wow, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what I think about that.
It's real different. There's no question about it. And that's what I do. You have to understand that that's what Tony Neal Productions does. We always reach for the unreachable. We try to do what others are not doing. In other words, we dare to go where the other reality shows don't want to go. So here is a young man, very handsome, by the way.
I was going to ask you, is he good looking?
Very handsome. Very accomplished young man, Kevin Staley. He's got his MBA. He's right now pursuing the charter on his own bank, along with three or four other partners. And you don't know, is he going to choose one of the girls that was, and in one of the young ladies' case, she went through the windshield in a high-impact collision.
Oh, my God.
We think outside the box. We think outside the box. We've got some strong interest from Fox. And I think one of the reasons why we have strong interest from Fox is they have always been on the cutting edge. Anything having to do with reality television that is exciting and trend-setting, they are all over it.
You think you're going to be on Fox this fall with this?
I really do think so. I think that they are the network for us. This is going to be, I think, the reality show that's going to make all the other reality shows look like candid camera. It's different, isn't it?
It sure is different. You got a bachelor who picks between three girls with veils. Two of the girls were disfigured badly in an automobile accident, you're saying?
The two young ladies we have in the pilot, yes. But let me remind you, even though these horribly disfigured women have knockout bodies, that's why Mr. Staley might be a little surprised. I didn't say that he would be, but he might be surprised.
The girls have all got great figures, so he knows he's getting a woman with a great figure.
He knows he's getting a woman with a great figure. But when he lifts that veil, what's he going to find?
It's like something out of Eyes Without a Face. You know that science fiction movie?
I was going to mention the film, Eyes Without a Face. Wonderful film. A real, one of those classic horror noir films.
Eyes Without a Face was about the girl who had a badly disfigured face, and her father was trying to get her face fixed, and he kept killing prostitutes or something?
Beautiful, wonderfully made film. An Italian-made film, yes. It's different. I knew I'd take your breath away a little bit.
I don't know. I don't want to ask you what happens, but there's feelings that I have of compassion for the young lady.
Well, before you start to feel a little too compassionate for the young ladies, understand they're making themselves an enormous amount of money. Number two, one of them will be married to a young man with a brilliant future. And, Phil, I put it to you this way. Isn't it better that we get to know people for who they really are rather than what they look like?
Well, in theory, that's what we say. But in practice, we all want someone who is at least aesthetically pleasing to us. I mean, everybody's vision of beauty.
But perhaps Mr. Staley's vision of beauty is altered by what he gets to know about this young lady. And I'm not saying whether he picked the girl who's a star, but that's what the audience knows.
And the does the audience see their faces?
The audience sees the audience knows which two girls are disfigured, but the audience doesn't see their face until Kevin does. Isn't that something? Isn't that different? I'm telling you, Phil.
It's different.
I am telling. I've got some very, very strong interest from a great many people in this town. Mark Burnett and all of the rest of them can do their little, can go play in the mud in Survivor. They can go make mud pies on Survivor, you know. What we deal in is reality. And that's why I really like to say what we do in our production company is we do reality television. That's why when Kevin says, I can hardly wait to see your smile, the audience is in on it, and it can be very funny.
I just want to say, by the way, we're talking with Tony Neal on the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. He's producing a reality show called Beauty's Only Skin Deep, in which three girls with veils on their faces are wined and dined for 3 days by one eligible bachelor. At the end of those 3 days, he then chooses one of them to be his wife. So he's contractually committed to proposing marriage.
Yes, and that is something which is ironclad, and that also adds to the drama. It's not that he just has to go on a date with her. It's that he is committed to spending his life with her, you see.
All right, but two of the girls have badly disfigured faces from an automobile accident. And he lifts the veil. How does he choose her?
He walks over to lift the veil. So when he lifts that veil, he's already made his choice.
All right, so the minute he touches the veil,
he has chosen her. Isn't that fun? And then he lifts the veil.
I got to tell you, there's a little bit of feeling of compassion for the women.
Well, as I said, Phil, And I think what your problem is, let me help you out. I think the problem you have and a lot of people have, you let your sentimentality deny you the opportunity to just have some fun. This is just television. We're just having some fun for an evening. Sentimentality is wonderful. But stop and consider that just for a night, you suspend your sentimentality and you suspend the things that prey on all of us. And just have some fun as we watch this young man believing that he may be picking some gorgeous bathing beauty and he might be picking the Bride of Frankenstein. Isn't that interesting?
And comparing her to the Bride of Frankenstein.
But this is I've been in television a long time, Phil. You have to find a way to describe it to a television executive so that they can visualize it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not certainly not comparing the young ladies in terms of character or anything else to the Bride of Frankenstein. I'm simply saying that we all remember the classic film Bride of Frankenstein. You remember when they brought the bride out and she met Frankenstein for the first time and she screamed?
Are you saying that he screamed, this guy?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that was the drama.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Tony Neal, I will say this. When he says it's different, it's different. The reality show is called Beauty's Only Skin Deep. And a young bachelor picks between three veiled bachelorettes. Three women who have been wearing veils for 3 days. And three women that he has been taking out, wining and dining, getting to know, socializing with. At the end of the 3 days, he signals which one is his wife-to-be by lifting her veil. Two of the three, according to Mr. Neal, were badly disfigured in automobile accidents. I don't know whether I'd watch that or not. What would you do? Would you watch that? How could you not watch it in some ways? We find out when he finds out which is the one. 1-800-449-8686. The show is called Beauty's Only Skin Deep. The reality show from Tony Neal. This is The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm joined by television producer Tony Neal. The TV show that he is producing is called Beauty is Only Skin Deep. When you hear the premise, I don't know whether you'll love it or whether you'll hate it, but I think you'll agree with Tony. It's interesting. The show is about three women who have great bodies, but their faces are covered with veils. They are courted by a young man for 3 days, and he chooses one of them to be his wife. But he chooses her to be his wife before he lifts her veil. Now, two of the women have been disfigured in automobile accidents. You said that they had plastic surgery?
They were treated by Dr. Hunter, yes. And it was not successful. It's very interesting when he raises the veil. I don't want to say who he chose, because one of the young ladies is absolutely gorgeous. But the other two are very, very disfigured. Very, very disfigured. And when you think about this show, and I think the reason why this show is going to be the envy of every reality television show producer out there, this show is going to be an event. This show, on the final episode, when Kevin lifts the veil, friends will be having Beauty's Only Skin Deep parties. You can take photographs of the reactions of your friends. This will be a national event to see who he picked and what she looks like. Isn't that interesting? I think it's fascinating. It has elements of Beauty and the Beast. It has elements of as you mentioned, filled eyes without a face. It's also a love story, a deep, deep love story, having to do with love transcending the physical. I mean, it's real different. It's real different. And as I said, Gus Berman over at Fox and Zeke Zucker over there at NBC, they're all foaming at the mouth for this. And with good reason. I think the American people are ready for a show like this.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I want to take some phone calls from our listeners and get some feedback.
I would love it. I would absolutely look forward to it.
All right, let's talk to Priscilla. Hi, Priscilla. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Tony Neal.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Well, good. Just question, though. Two of these three women have disfigurements. Does the individual know before he plays the game that two out of three are disfigured?
That you're going to have to tune in to find out. He does know, that they are veiled for a reason.
Okay. So, my question is this.
Yes.
The exploitation of people, of burn victims, of car accident victims, agree that everybody has their price, but do you think America is going to tune in to something that is going to be so horrific that they may even not watch the last program? Why not have volleyball that has veils on?
Let me help you with that.
Uh-huh.
Your sentimentality, as I said to Phil, sort of overrides your ability to just have a good time. And when you talk about exploitation,
uh-huh.
you could say that about anybody. If
right.
we photograph children for commercials, are we exploiting them? If we photograph a woman wearing a very tight bathing suit, are we exploiting her? If we photograph a man playing football, are we exploiting him? I think we've really come to a point in this country now where this idea that we're exploiting. There's the other side of the exploitation coin, Priscilla, is that people, through their own free will, participate in these programs. These ladies were paid very well. They know exactly what the program is about. No one is forcing them into anything. So that's the other side of the exploitation coin that I think we have to look at. And when we do, we realize that everyone is part of this human family, this human drama, and they're all aspects of the human drama. I am very proud of this program. I'm very, very proud of this program. And I think that this is a show that is going to teach us what real beauty is.
Yeah, okay, but you keep saying it's real different. It's
it's exciting. I mean, we just signed a deal with Jim Tucker to have the wonderful life, wonderful couple on with Katie Couric the next morning on the Today Show. I mean, I and the look on his face when he lifts that veil is priceless.
All right, let me go over here to Trudy. Trudy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm foaming at the mouth, and I'm horrified. And exploitation, I cannot even believe that you are talking the way you're talking, Mr. Whatever your name is.
I remember your name. Your name is Trudy.
My name is Trudy.
Yes.
And your name is Tony, but I don't know your last name.
My name is Tony Neal, yes, but you can call me Tony.
Tony Neal.
Yes.
The way you're talking about this, the sad thing for me is people have their price. People have their price.
Well,
and you're making a lot of
people
money.
The price. In other words, do you get paid to do your job? Of course you do. Would it be fair of me to say you have your price?
Well, you know what? I work as a teacher, so I wouldn't say that I have...
Hold on for a minute. Trudy, hold the line for a minute, will you? 1-800-449-8686. We're on with Tony Neal talking about his show, Beauty's Only Skin Deep. Three girls, two of which have badly disfigured faces, are wearing veils for 3 days before the bachelor picks one of the three. Will he pick the one who went through the windshield? That's what the tagline ought to be. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Tony Neal with me. The show is called Beauty's Only Skin Deep, a new reality show about a bachelor who picks one of three veiled bachelorettes to be his wife, one of whom, among the three, is, I guess we could say Tony is normal looking.
Well, she is traditionally beautiful, yes. But the other two have encountered life's misfortune. The other two were involved in a horrifying automobile accident. One of them I can tell you about is a young lady by the name of Candace. And I don't know if I'm actually legally allowed to give you her last name, but I'll tell you that her first name is Candace. She comes from the San Luis Obispo area. And she went sailing through a windshield on a high-impact collision on the 101 freeway on a Saturday night, not too long after 9/11, as a matter of fact. And let me tell you what. When she walked into our office, I thought I was going to lose about 100 pounds of body weight just from what comes out the other end, if you know what I'm talking about. It was that. So we went through an awful lot, and it's real different, this show.
Yeah, I can see where it's real different. And I had Trudy on the line here. Thank you, Trudy, for hanging on, but we did have to go to a commercial break. Go ahead.
Sure. No, I understand. I'm on a cell phone, and I'm breaking up.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm kind of actually probably glad that I'm breaking up. I can't believe what you're talking about. What? I can't even believe... So you're talking about true love. And
is this the young lady that was on a moment ago?
Yes.
Actually, You know, I never listened to the radio, and I turned it on tonight, and I cannot believe that.
Let me ask you this, Drew.
Yes, yes.
You get into a fiery crash, your face ends up looking like a catcher's mitt. Wouldn't you like to have a chance for a little bit of love? That's what beauty is only skin deep.
See, if somebody was talking to me about catcher's mitt and throwing up 100 pounds of something and saying Bride of Frankenstein, I don't really think that I would really be wanting to be around that person. And I.
That's the macabre. Let me help you out with that.
It is macabre. You're right.
Let me help you out with that.
It's the nail on the head.
You're not having fun with it, and you need to...
How can you have fun? All the audience...
Oh, my God.
You're not having
fun at somebody else's misfortune?
What misfortune? No, it's the drama of, did we all go to see Beauty... Did we all go to see Beauty and the Beast? Yes, we did. Did we all go to see Phantom of the Opera? Yes, we did. What was that about? It was about love and the beauty of song,
okay,
transcending physical beauty. Transcending physical beauty and becoming... and when he lifts that veil... I'm telling you.
Don't even say it. It's priceless. The look on his face is priceless.
It is. It's absolutely priceless. And Trudy.
But was Beauty and the Beast and Phantom of the Opera, were they young women with very voluptuous bodies wearing veils?
Well, we're talking about the Phantom of the Opera was himself had a veil on his face. And she fell in love with his music. And when he finally did take his mask off, of course.
Are they playing music?
Well, Trudy, you don't get it. If your face has become the color of raw steak, T-bone,
right.
No, you don't get it. I get it. I'm going to be getting it in the size of a big rock. It's real different, and it takes an unusual a person who thinks outside the box to get it.
Well, if
your face looked like a raw T-bone steak, you would crave to be touched. Look, suppose you fell face first through a plate glass window. Now, we get you on our show, $10,000.
Oh, come on, will you? I mean, this is...
$10,000?
No, what, $10,000? It's real different.
How many times are you going to tell me how different this show is?
Tony, what do you look like?
All right, Trudy, 1-800-449-8686. Keith, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want you to know, man, that you had to be a used car salesman in another life trying to sell people this foolishness here. What you're doing is wrong. That's terrible.
Talking to me?
Yes, he's talking to you.
Why is it wrong? Let me help you with that.
No, let me help you with it. You see, you said you can exploit anything. What you're doing is justifying anything.
Keith, I recognize this voice. This is Mark Burnett calling. I recognize you, Mark.
Is not Mark.
Yes, this is Mark Burnett, the producer of Survivor. I want the audience to know. And I understand that you're jealous of a good idea, Mark.
Is this Mark Burnett?
No, it's not.
If it was Mark Burnett, would you say?
I would. But no, it's not Mark.
Well, you sound exactly like Mark Burnett. I just spoke with him just the other day.
Okay, well, once again, you're wrong. Just like you're wrong about
spitting
the show, the idea of the show, you're wrong about who I am. So,
Keith,
I
simply want to say... Suspend your sentimentality and enjoy the gothic thrill that you got as a young child looking at the great old horror movies on television. You know how much you enjoyed that?
We're not talking about a horror monster. We're talking about two women who went through, as you said, one of life's misfortunes.
Well, that too, yes. That's also, you're right.
And you're taking someone that has went through a situation, being in a few carrots of money in their face, and want to make that right. Yeah, I would imagine it was, if you interviewed 1,000 people, you may have taken two or found two that would do that foolishly.
You know, Mark, when you're going to call a talk show, at least try and disguise your voice. I know that this is him.
All right, well, if this is Mr. Burnett, my congratulations on a successful show.
Mark, I'm about to do you one better. When you call a talk show, try to disguise your voice at least.
This is not Mark, Doctor.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Once again, you go. But
right.
I tell you what, just go ahead and when you finish with this, go sell you some cars. You may make $1 million.
Keith, I tell you, I think you're going to have a great time with it. The program will air this fall. I think you'll love it. I think it's going to be drama. I think it's going to be high drama. And when he lifts that veil, woohoo! It's different.
All right. Hey, Keith, thank you. Thank you, sir, very much. Mark Burnett.
No, believe me, I've known Mark for years. That was him.
Well, why wouldn't he say it was him?
He doesn't want people to know that he's jealous of the idea that I have. But that was Mark Burnett.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Deanna. Hello, Deanna. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Tony Neal.
Hi.
Hi, Deanna.
Hi. I'm calling. I am just your typical Las Vegas housewife, you know. And I do not think that I would want to watch this. I don't think anybody I know would want to watch this or approve of this. This is not what America wants to see. The way the world is going, the way our values and morals are going down the drain, this is just adding to it. And I think this is one of the most disgusting, horrific, belittling, evil things I have heard in the past.
Well,
I'll
agree with you that it is different. It's
horrible. It's horrible. It is making these poor women just make it. Nobody has a price that high to be treated like they're cattle. Okay, and you're also making marriage.
One of them is going to be married to a very eligible young man.
You are making marriage a very cheap and easy thing. I thought this
silly
movie, The Bachelor, marriage is? It's a sacrament.
Don't you know that The Bachelor does this
contract.
Once a week?
It's a sacred contract.
We are giving three women who otherwise would be modeling for Creepshow magazine.
What kind of person are you?
Well, I am a man who believes that beauty...
These women, these are probably beautiful women, and they probably have a 10 times more beautiful heart than you do.
What I'm trying to do with Beauty is Only Skin Deep.
Well, the comment about them modeling for Creepshow magazine...
Before I came along, these women were cooking in the back of a nobody wanted them to wait tables. So
There are lots of things to do that you don't have to be in public if you don't want to.
Let me tell you something.
You can be a professor on the internet and teach schools if you want. There are so many things to do. To say that they just had to
sit
in the back.
I agree.
That is just ridiculous.
Look, we got this idea from a wonderful movie called The Mask.
That's a movie. That is Hollywood. That was a true story.
The Mask is true.
And treat them like a movie character.
Are you talking about The Mask with Eric Stoltz?
The film The Mask with Cher and Eric Stoltz.
Oh, that was a true story about that kid Rocky?
That's right. I got that kid had a face like somebody had bombarded it with boulders. And you know what?
Oh, my God.
Look, Deanna.
Do you know what the word compassion means?
Of course. I have
compassion. Do you know what humanity exists on this earth
for? They get all expenses paid.
It is not to exploit other people when they have different problems.
All right, Deanna, I want to ask
you. Are you going to go exploit people with mental illnesses?
Maybe. No, I can't. Joking. That's just a joke. Deanna, you're cooking a stir fry one night for your husband. You use too much oil. The heat's too high. Boom. Your face turns into a rotten peach. Don't you still want love? On our show, you can still...
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
You don't understand what marriage and love is, obviously.
I see. You only married the good-looking guy, huh? You wouldn't have anything to do with the ugly guy?
Well, that's actually you, Deanna. I have been with some men who were not considered the most attractive. They had a good heart.
But you wound up marrying the good-looking guy, didn't you, Deanna, Miss Beauty's Only Skin Deep? Our program proves that Beauty's Only Skin Deep. Now, you mentioned something about the mentally ill, and I wouldn't exploit them, but I want to write that down.
Oh, great.
I'm what? I'm F? You started to say I'm what?
What?
No, you said something F word.
What?
Yes, you did. You told me to F or F off.
No, she did not.
You know what? This is probably being tape recorded, so you can play the tape back and you can listen to it, and I did not say that. You're just angry because nobody so far has liked your idea except Hollywood producers, and that's because they're going to make money off it.
Deanna, I want to ask
you people in the real world want to listen to.
Jerry Berman, who is the head of Fox, could be listening right now, and you're spoiling the deal for me when you come on and pretend like you don't like this idea. You like it as much as everybody else.
You know what? I never watched The Bachelor. I never watched Survivor. All of these shows are crap.
What are you doing with...
We don't watch TV to see this kind of crap.
Well, you're either watching TV or you're eating.
I Dream of Jeannie, The Love Boat.
Oh, yeah, I Dream of Jeannie. Oh, yeah. Vegas is the real world, Deanna. Yeah, okay, sure. Thanks for the call
Obviously,
to the real
you've
world.
I've never been to Vegas.
Like, you live in Vegas. You're an ex-showgirl. Your breasts and your butt have dropped, and you're mad.
Yeah, whatever.
Go rotten hell.
Okay, so he did a good pitch for his show, didn't he? Just told a potential viewer to go rotten hell. That's the way to pitch a TV show now. Get on and say, I think you're going to like it. I don't. Well, go rotten hell. That is Tony Neal with his new show, Beauty's Only Skin Deep. About disfigured women wearing veils and maybe being picked for love and marriage by that bachelor. 1-800, by the way, I do have a production interest in it. All right, 1-800-449, well, he offered me 5%. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ahead, Jeff Dowder's Olympic thoughts. and our mailbag. We're going to look at the mailbag, see what people have been sending us. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 2 feet shorter than models. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, I want to say something about the Olympic basketball team. I know they lost, but you're never going to be able to say a bad thing to me about Allen Iverson ever again. I mean, those guys went over there and they played, and they did their best, and they had half of a team. They really didn't have an all-star team. An all-star team is not a great team to begin with. It's an all-star team, but it's not a team. It's got a lot of stars, and to turn them into a cohesive unit and one that can play excellent over the course of an extended period of time is difficult in and of itself. But when you're dealing with a group of players that do not represent the best that we have, and I'm not trying to demean those guys, because every guy that turned out for that team, man, I love all of them. I mean, can you imagine the guys that have been Olympians? Think about the ones that have been Olympians. Muhammad Ali went to the Olympics with the U.S. boxing team. Muhammad Ali went to the Olympics. So what makes the rest of these guys so special? What makes O'Neal special and Bryant special and the rest of you guys sitting on your ass and doing nothing? Not that you do anything for a living to begin with. So a little Iverson goes over there, Richard Jefferson, a picture of the two of them, and the other players that went over there. God bless you, man. Thanks for going over and playing for us and wearing the uniform. And you didn't win. I saw Iverson sprawling on the floor going after a loose ball. So, you know what? I think I'm going to start rooting for that basketball team again. I hope they don't send the big guys anymore. Start sending the college guys again. And second thought, send the pros. 1-800-449-8686. It's time now for Lloyd, and he thinks that John Kerry dishonors this country. Lloyd tied up his grandson and stuck him in the trunk of a car so he'd know what it was like to be a POW.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Well, I have one thing to say to this gentleman. I'm sure he served our country admirably. But here's one thing this gentleman must understand. We appreciate what you did, sir, but you have no right to take those children's rights away from them when they haven't even decided at what point they are basically going to vote at some point. You're destroying and diminishing anything that these kids could ever want to grow up to be and vote for.
I've got to save my boy from this father of his.
You are not the savior, sir.
I beg pardon?
Those children haven't even grown up to decide who they want to vote for at some point.
If that's the case.
You are an adult. You are a parent, a grandparent. You have no right to misuse those children.
Sir,
give them the opportunity to decide once they get to the age
if they haven't
who they
decided,
want to vote for.
Then why do they have a carry sticker on their backpack if they haven't decided? And if they're going to put a carry sticker on their backpack, they better get ready for what for.
Because you are an adult, sir.
This never would
you
have happened.
You are not thinking rationally like an adult. You are not even giving these kids an opportunity.
Come on.
To decide.
Do you know that young men who were 18, 19 years old were put in these sweat boxes by the Chinese? These guys didn't go through a GD thing. And I'll tell you something else.
There are millions of people who have gone through atrocities.
If my daughter hadn't married that imbecile that she's married to, the only reason she married that piece of garbage is because it's some sort of payback for me not being able to buy her a new car when she was 16.
Son-in-law, and it's not about your daughter.
Oh, yes, sir, it is.
You are distorting the electoral process with these children. Give them a chance to grow up and decide who it is they want to vote for and what the people are all about.
What?
If that happened, and I don't know that it happened, it was years and years ago.
Why would you...
The man is probably somewhere else, and I'm not in defense of him. I'm in defense of these children. What you did was wrong.
Okay. You know something? That moron that my daughter married... I gotta get him away from my grandson. Otherwise, my grandson's gonna grow up to be one of these queers that you see on television,
sir,
getting their hair redone.
To what you're saying these children,
yeah.
And you're taking it into the family.
Yeah.
I can only imagine you being in a business and ethnically
Who did you serve in a business? I hope it wasn't just your war buddies, and all due respect to them. I am a black man, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and I can feel the prejudice in your soul.
You know something, buddy? I went to war with black and Jewish boys, and for you to say something like that, if you were standing in front of me right now,
I'd
put you on your back.
Of your grandson.
I'd put you right on your back for what you
said. The prejudice in your own family.
The prejudice? This moron that might, just because he's Chinese, you think that I don't like him for that. It's
we
because...
Are you telling me that... Chinese, sir, so there you go.
What are you talking about? But, you'd be prejudiced, too, if a Chinaman stuck you in a box.
Sir, let me tell you something.
My daughter has always had a thing
my
about me because I wasn't what they call a groomy dad.
In the military for the last 6 months. So don't think I don't stand here and feel what you're saying.
She married a dirtbag on purpose.
Guess what?
He poisoned my son with his liberal ideas.
Sir.
All right, gentlemen.
I spend every day worried about and appreciate what she's doing for this country. Do you understand me?
Sir, you called me a bigot.
2004.
You
let it go.
Just because I don't like Chinamen, you call me a bigot.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You'd be prejudiced, too, if a Chinaman put you in a box. Lloyd is disgusting, but... I do use his heating and plumbing business. For all your heating and plumbing needs, Bonafide Heating and Plumbing, Alhambra. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. Chef Carl Cedilia may make a visit. We also have our mailbag coming up on Monday night. The Tim Robbins Report returns and Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat. Tuesday night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 Report as well. We're heading toward the elections. We won't let you down. We'll be sure to misinform you. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We got Jeff Dowder coming up with his Olympic thoughts. This will be, I guess, his final Olympic report because the closing ceremonies are on Monday night, and we also tonight will have a mailbag. We'll see what you guys have been writing to the show, and our web address at www.philhenryshow.com also has those really cool Steve Bozell for President t-shirts. You get one, and it'll say, Steve Bozell, President 2004, vote for me or I'll sue you, and that is, I guess, that's our little election year item in our souvenir shop, and a whole lot of other things there as well, including our Best of CD, the Phil Hendry Show's Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, the money of which that we raise for that CD goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And on Monday night, the Tim Robbins Report with Hollywood film star and legend Tim Robbins. And what else is going on in the U.S. government that is keeping Tim from fulfilling his destiny as all-around great guy, big name, and free thinker? How are they keeping him from doing that? We'll find out. Harvey Wireman, Senior Chat, Tuesday night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 Report. And, of course, speaking of the Olympics, world gymnastic officials were asking Paul Hamm to give his medal back, the gymnast who won in the all-around. They found out, of course, that they made a mistake, the judges, that the Koreans should have gotten it, and they asked Hamm to give the medal back. They sent a letter to the USOC basically saying, would you please tell him to give the medal back? And the United States Olympic Committee said, no, you do it. What do you mean? What? It's a real groovy thing, that Olympics, isn't it? Wait a minute, we made a mistake. Like 3 weeks later? That's kind of like delivering an atom bomb by mule cart. Isn't it? It's, we've got an A-bomb and we'll get it to you. You really made us angry. You'll be sorry in 4 months. What is the criteria for being a gymnastic judge? Look like, what's his name, Scott Hamilton? I don't know. Maybe they got the ice skating judges mixed up with the gymnastic judges. And frankly, maybe these guys aren't math whizzes. What do you mean, one-tenth of a point? What's that supposed to represent anyway? Are you guys trying to tell me that you've quantified, like, a dude? That's five-tenths of a point. Like, he reached down and itched his crack, and, okay, that's two-tenths. As opposed to one-tenth, which is for what? Well, he skipped. But the other guy made a full step. And the other guy did a full twist and turn. Well, the other guy's twist and turn... two-tenths. This is the most arbitrary thing I've ever heard of in my life. The way that they ought to judge gymnastics is simply this. Does the guy walk away without a broken neck? If not, you're in the next round. I think if the guy, all that other jazz the guy does in the bar, you know, where he's flipping around and all that, that's fine. Everybody knows, who's ever watched gymnastics, it's whether you nail it on the landing, right? Isn't that what we've learned, what we've been told? If the guy makes a little bunny hop, well, you're gone. Next. Now, let's say all of them don't make the bunny hop. Then you make them do harder and harder things until one guy walks away with a dislocated jaw. Now, he's out. Then you make them do harder and harder and harder things, like get up and do four full spins before you land. I can't. That's a physically impossible. Well, I guess it is physically for you. What are you talking? Just do it. And if the guy spins, lands on his back, cracks three vertebrae, you're gone. Next.
It's called a stick landing, not a nail it, you tard.
All right, then he's got to stick it. Like you want to stick it, bud.
Boy, I didn't hear that joke coming. The funny. Stick it.
So, that's what... This 2/10 of a point I don't get. And the same thing with figure skating, which is fantastic. I can appreciate figure skating. I know that it's like dancing and skating and all that, but all of the judging having to do with, and it's like the Israeli judge and get the Canadians and the French out of there. They're always screwing it up. If you just get some nice, solid cats like the Bulgarians and the Paraguayans and the Mexicans, how about just one country that never wins anything? Why don't you have Iran judge everything? Although I hear their soccer team is quite the rage there in Najaf or whatever the hell. Get the Russians, somebody, anybody in there. How about the Irish? Do they ever win anything? What are the Irish? Do they even compete? I don't even think they... Oh, to hell with it. They're not going over to that thing. It's blarney. Well, no. No, bullcrap. Why, we've got the finals of the Irish football this weekend. How did we have to go and, you know, play in football? Up yours. Now, what do you mix play anyway? What do you mean, Nick? Well, you guys don't do... What, do you do the whole... You do the long jump? I'm Irish. Do I look long? Little inside humor there. You ladies will understand. All right. Well, we mean well, ladies. And we got big hearts. But this is really... It's quite insulting, this young man, Peter Ham, who did work very hard. It's not his problem. The Korean won, he won. And also, this is all based on what might have happened. Like, for instance, if they gave him the 1/10 that he needed, the South Korean, then he would have won if everything else went the way that it already went, see? But suppose they judged it right. Suppose they gave him the 1/10 that he needed. Then Ham goes out there and does 9 million flips in a quarter of a second off of the top of the Empire State Building or something. What, are you going to tell me he lost then? How do you know? Every time we get mixed up with these foreigners, we wind up taking it up the giggy with a wah-wah brush. How many times have I told you guys that? Every time we jump into the middle of these people, the IOC and the FIG and the all these cats, the international, every time we try to jump into like soccer, Grand Prix racing, or anything that them foreigners, like the biathlon, we always wind up getting screwed. Because they always got some, and they...
But you're American, you don't understand.
Well, we thought we'd try it anyway.
Are you sure you understand?
Yeah, it's soccer. You kick the ball down the field. What's the big deal anyway?
Oh, you're disrespecting our sport, are you?
No, I mean, we want to go down there.
Just be careful. You don't understand soccer. This is not your baseball. It's not your football. It's not your basketball.
No, it sure ain't our basketball. You guys are better at us than that. I mean, you guys are better than us. Yeah, I think that's what I said.
Yes, you don't even know what you're saying.
You think you're going to come in and play a little of this soccer, huh? Think you're going to do some... You guys are playing your baseball, you think you're hot stuff.
Well, this is soccer, mister. We wear short pants and we kick a ball down a field until it's 1-0.
Okay, man, that's really great. You mind if we play?
Well, okay. Just don't be thinking you're so hot with your American flag and all of your freedom and stuff.
Yeah, I know, we're pushing our weight around, aren't we?
Yeah.
All right, so then we go and we kick ass. What happens? Oh, and then I saw the article in, what was it? Was it Newsweek or Time or one of those magazines that's virtually unreadable? My wife has got Time magazine. I said to her, honey, even the best writer in Time seems dull by Friday because I already read everybody else's same take on this 4 days before. It's kind of like watching Comedy Central. You already heard the jokes, then you watch them, and they've watered them down to the point where, you know, Comedy Central, the only thing central in that place, man, is the heating. If that. So, you know, what was the article? restraint. Yeah, that was it. I thought I was gonna lose 100 pounds in body water. Best for the athletes to show restraint at the Olympics. Oh, man. You know, you're going to win the big gold medal. Just make sure. That's probably why that ham kid just stood there, real calm, cool, and collected, while all of those raging Greeks went ape around him, all those men and boys tied together, and they're all just mad as hell, and the kid just stood there. Remember that, all the booing, and he just, like, stood there real cool? Because they probably got the big word from the USOC. Now, don't disgrace your country and show restraint. Oh, okay. So when I win, I'll just go, hey, where's the bus? Best for us to show restraint. So every time we get mixed up with these people, what winds up happening? We wind up taking it up to Giggy with the wah-wah brush, just like old Badusky said, man. Always wanting to call me badass. I say forget it. And that World Cup, do we care? I know there's a handful of kids that play soccer. I get it. I understand. And they should be allowed to play soccer. But just go play soccer, man. We ain't into it. We're not, you know, forget it, man. It's like Grand Prix racing. Just because I dig Grand Prix racing, which is like that road race stuff with the funny open-wheel cars, it's all a rage in Europe and everywhere else in the world. In America, we couldn't care less. We like that oval track racing. That's what we dig, man. We dig NASCAR, a little bit of that kart stuff. Just around and around and around and around they go, okay? All counterclockwise and all that. Over in Europe, man, they go for that road race stuff, man, where you get to see like 2 seconds of the race, and then you sit for another half hour and wait for them to go around the track and come back to your little bend while you have a picnic lunch. Little chicken, a little wine, and then, oh, Jean-Paul, here they come again. Yes, there they are. Pierre hits 1/10 ahead of the Argentinian. And then that's it. That's the race. And then they wait for another half hour while the kids play. And then if they're lucky, maybe a wheel comes loose, and little Jean-Paul, who is over there by the tree playing with a bunny or something, he gets an entire Goodyear on top of him. He gets rolled over by a big, fat, slick Goodyear meat. Forget it. They say they like us. They don't, man. They say they like... I dig that concept. I said to you guys before, I love Americans. I just don't like your government. I'm just going to tell you, this is just one man's opinion. When they tell you that they don't like the government, they're really telling you they don't like you, because where else in the world is the government the people, but here, man, this is our government, it's us. When they say they don't like our government, they're telling you basically you're a slob. And I dig it when I go to Europe, it's like they're doing you a favor talking to you. Oh, American, huh? Well, at least you're not the president, so I guess I'll serve you a beer. So forget about the gymnastics. I say, guys that can fly through the air and flip around and do all of that stuff, I mean, there's got to be a job for you someplace, like trying on jeans or helping redecorate a guy's apartment, something. All right, 1-800, I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Jeff Dowder's Olympic Thoughts. I'm sure he'll have more on this. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Live in Athens, Greece is Jeff Dowder, and Jeff makes the final of his series of reports from the Olympics in Athens. And Jeff, Olympics are over with, and what are your thoughts and feelings? The U.S., I mentioned the basketball. U.S. winning a few gold medals, but not in the basketball. And Peter Hamm having to give back that medal.
Well, Phil, I think the comments that I have to make really tonight are more about the country of Greece and what I had seen in the 2 weeks what I've been in Greece now for 2 weeks. This is Jeff Dowder from the Olympics. I've been in Greece now for 2 weeks, and my comments are about what I have had seen over the last 2 weeks. And I'm trying to get a handle on what the big thing is with everybody liking Greek, you know, the Greekans. I mean, they had this movie out this one time. It was called My Fat Greek Wedding, and I guess it was okay. But I didn't think it was that funny. I mean, the women were hideous. The men were all small and ignorant. And the story is about some fat pig that gets married and everything like that. And I understand about Socrates and stuff like that, but what does that have to do with the people there now? If you've been to Athens, you know it smells like a turd. The women here, I believe, the men here are ignorant morons. And the food, you know, everybody talks about Greek food. It's the most nauseating concoction, like dead lamb and like chopped up weeds and weird bread and everything. And also, like a lot of people here are from Albania and Croatia, and I don't know if you know about those places, but if you want to meet some real douche, just talk to some slime ball from like Croatia. I mean, that place is, I hear, it's even bigger toilet than Greece. So I know a lot of people want to go on cruises and stuff, like to Greece, like my grandmother and my grandfather did last summer. But I have to warn you, if you go, when you get back, you're going to want to see a doctor. You can have more fun in Tijuana. This Jeff Downer. Can I do it the way Rome does it now? Phil?
What?
Can I lock out?
Are you done?
Yeah.
So Greece is the one, it smells like a turd and everybody's, the women are ugly.
Yeah. Can I lock out like Romy does?
You want to lock out the way Romy does?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. This Jeff Downer.
Oh, man. Yeah, thanks for that big report there, Jeff. Jeff Downer in Athens. Athens smells like a turd. The women are ugly and the men are ignorant morons. Well, there you go. That's the Olympic spirit. And that's Jeff Downer with his Olympic report. We got our mailbag coming up on the Phil Hendry Show tonight. We also have a flashback with Bobby Dooley. And I don't know what kind of nonsense she got into. It had something to do with her three sons. She doesn't want them to go die in Iraq. She'd rather the kid of one of her friends go and die in Iraq because she doesn't like the way he looks at her. Like Bobby's some piece of crap. Rear Admiral William something or other said on Thursday in his first on-the-record interview about the Swift boat veterans dispute that I was in the skimmer on the morning of December the 2nd, 68, when John Kerry was involved in an incident that led to his first Purple Heart. Here's what the guy says. This is in the Chicago Sun-Times. He said Kerry nicked himself with an M79, a grenade launcher. He said Kerry requested the Purple Heart. Now, this guy was a lieutenant at the time. He said he was in command of a small boat called a Boston Whaler, or a skimmer, with Kerry aboard in his first combat mission of the Vietnam War. The third crew member was an enlisted man whose name the Rear Admiral did not remember. The two enlisted men who appeared at the podium with Kerry at the Democratic National Convention have asserted that they were alone in the small boat with Kerry with no other officer present. But this admiral said it was not possible for Kerry to have gone out alone so soon after joining the Swift Boat Command in late November of 1968. Kerry supporters said no critics of the Democratic presidential nominee ever were on board a boat with him. And a Washington lawyer, Lanny Davis, has contended that this admiral, who's, I can't pronounce this guy's name, S-C-H-A-C-H-T-E. If I do it wrong, somebody's going to, Shock? I'll just call him Shock. Or shocked. He said he wasn't aboard the Boston Whaler and says the statement he made in Unfit for Command undermines the book's credibility. Anyway, this thing, man, this whole bit with Kerry, whether or not he got a Purple Heart from nicking himself with a straight razor, whether he actually was shooting it up with the Viet Cong, whether he was just shooting up, this whole thing has just made his campaigns come to a screeching halt. It's just come to a grinding halt. I wonder if he ever knew. Some people say that in life, these politicians really make a life's plan and a life's work of running for office. A lot of people say that Kerry's been planning to run for president ever since, like, Vietnam. Because why else would the guy have all this film footage of himself and this and that and this and that and, you know, Purple Hearts and all that? But, man, I don't think he ever thought that the day would come that maybe he'd be running for president and all of this stuff, you know, all the anti-Vietnam rhetoric that was so hip back then was going to be such a liability now. Nobody ever considered it for a moment. When Kerry sat down in front of the Senate and said that the soldiers in Vietnam were rapists and murderers, that was totally an accepted thing in those days. People believed it because everybody was shocked by that war and knew and different things were being said about the military, and it just wasn't your dad's army anymore. You know, it wasn't your dad's Oldsmobile no more. So when he said that stuff, people were willing to believe it. Now, 30 years later, all of a sudden, everybody's come full circle on that. And this guy, Kerry, man, he is,
he might as well be just like a dirty cat box you got to clean up. Nobody wants to go near him. Bush is pulling ahead in the polls, and by November, Kerry may be, he may be selling oranges out here on a freeway on ramp. Funny how life is. Don't play the Olympic music.
Well, I thought it was a good time.
It was just me talking about Kerry. What's an Olympic music got to do with anything?
I thought I'd lock it out.
Lock it out. Let me lock stuff out and let Bozo over there in Athens lock out. Lock it out. I get done calling Kerry selling oranges and you're playing the Olympic theme.
Well, it just seemed like the appropriate thing.
Yeah, you're some producer, man.
Thank you.
All right, our mailbag is next. 1-800-449-8686 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up Monday night, the Tim Robbins Report. Tuesday, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 Report. We'll get more into the whole Kerry Bush thang. Wednesday night, Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And, of course, our plastic surgery feature, Sew Me Up So Tight I'm Talking Through a Hole in My Face. I don't know how that's going. I mean, that Dr. Jack Briscoe, I think somebody should look into his his ethics. And next Thursday, Bobby Dooley and Teen Peer Pressure with Hal and Viola Levalier from their private Piper Cup, which may crash. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, if you go to our website, there's an apology from Comedy Central right there on my homepage. That's right, an apology for lifting the entire premise of our radio show and trying to put it on their network and trying to claim that they created it, right? I love that. I just love it when I see a show on created by, Bozo the Clown. And you want to go, okay, all right, I'm sure there's some people going to buy that, man, but we all know where you got it. We all know what you know, which is that you're listening to this show every night to the point where you're calling up for tapes of it. But when I heard that Saturday Night Live was doing that, I wanted to just kill anything in my path. And I did, in fact. That's why Chris Pelton isn't with us any longer. So, to my way of thinking, so there's an apology there. I got to tell you something about Comedy Central. You may find this interesting. You guys watch that network? If you watch South Park, you watch Dave Chappelle, it's on Comedy Central. I talked to Trey Parker and Matt Stone when we went out and they invited us to their movie set. And they told me this story, and I don't know if I told you this, Janice, but this is very fascinating. When they went to Comedy Central with the little South Park pilot, what do you think Comedy Central said? Get it out of our sight. It sucks. It's garbage, right? They put it through, quote, audience testing, and it failed miserably. Now, if you know anything about television executives, when they put their little pilots and projects and the shows that they want to put on there, they stick it in front of their little test audience, and then they stick it in front of the idiots that run the network, and if they all give the big thumbs down, oh, no, we don't want it, right? So they told them they didn't want it. So now 4 or 5 months go by, and the programming on their network is so utterly boring, kind of like the way it is now. They go back to them and say, I think maybe we want your pilot now. Because the crap that they did green light was just that, crap. And green. Green crap. So they put South Park on, and gee, funny thing happened. It basically made that network is what it did. The thing they didn't want to have on the air, they stuck on the air, and I wonder if the executives that made that decision are still hanging around. Something tells me they probably are. It's Comedy Central, folks, where nothing's funny except South Park and Dave Chappelle. Tune in weekly. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show now commences with our mailbag for this week. We ain't done one in a long time. Well, we tried to do one earlier in the week, and I didn't get to all the letters. Is the letter that I didn't get to in here, Janice? Great. Dear Phil, I enjoy your show and have now for a couple of years. Thanks for supporting our troops. You asked about the funniest lines from the show. I've heard so many that I'll just mention the first time your show caused me pain from laughing. It was a couple of years ago. I had just had appendectomy surgery. No, I'm kidding. It was a couple of years ago. You were telling this story about shopping for a new car. You mentioned Lexus and other high-dollar makes when David Hall called in to complain. He was saying that you were talking above the average listener who couldn't afford any of those cars. He then offered the following example. David, Phil, when you talk about buying a Lexus, your audience is like a bunch of primitive Filipino natives sitting around the fire being amazed by the magic of the white man. From that day on, I was hooked. Tim in Montana. All right. That's Tim Schilling, and maybe he's in Billings. Huh?
Jesus.
All right. Doug Danger, sometimes I put a monocle on it. Sometimes I squirt some Visine into it, but I'm always using the gay eye. Is that funniest line? Oh, Doug Danger says, sometimes I put a monocle on it. Sometimes I squirt Visine into it, but I'm always using the gay eye. And Phil, I have a brother serving over in Iraq, First Lieutenant Justin Decker, and he's not only a fan, but he was responsible for introducing to me the madness that is the Phil Hendry Show a couple of years ago. Anyway, my last care package to him contained 160 hours worth of the Phil Hendry Show that I burned to 80 CDs using my backstage pass privileges. He was elated to say the least and told me that by far that has been his best care package item received. Keep up the good work. Aaron Decker in Encino, California. Thank you, Aaron. I wish we could have gotten all of those free CDs for the guys. What the hell? Just burn. You're sending it to a guy in Iraq or a woman in Iraq or any of our armed forces members. Download all you want. Hey, Phil, typically I don't respond to what I hear on the radio this way, and usually I laugh with you as you do your job fantastically each night. However, I will make an exception just this once. Although your dive into the 14th Amendment is admirable, you fail to recognize one thing, and that is context, my boy, context. Do you really think our founding fathers actually wrote that amendment with the notion that Americans would ever have to consider men or women fighting for the right to marry each other in the same-sex marriage? Come on! The 14th Amendment couldn't mean that. I'm quite positive that the time period in which this material was written was a time in which the thought wasn't even reality. We were made opposite for a reason. Thanks for listening, Gary Bingham. Gary, you nut. No, man. And they didn't think women should vote either. They didn't think black people were people either. You mean context? What does that mean, context? It says all people have equal protection under the law. They left it vague for a reason, because they didn't know what this country was going to be about in 200 years. One of the great things about the Constitution, if I may wax constitutional, is that, first of all, you see... Yes?
Don't do it.
Sorry. Dear Phil, best line has to be, you're really exciting to talk to, but I gotta go vomit, Ted Bell. Ted Bell. Dear Phil, I love your show, and I'm a new Backstage Pass member. I've been through most of the site, but with the constant updates, there's always something new. Here in Las Vegas, your affiliate also airs Dodger Baseball, so having a site I can go to and listen to the show I miss is very well worth the money. Regarding the show's funniest lines, I have to admit I'm a big fan of Jay Santos, but Vernon Dozier came up with a classic also. He was discussing how Disney's Aladdin soundtrack represented a threat from the Muslim world toward American ideals and described it as the Arab shoving his fundamentalist issues into a four by four beat. Oh. The Arab shoving his fundamentalist issues into a 4x4 beat. What's that? Into a 4x4 beat. 4x4. Priceless. Thanks for all your hard work, Phil. Alex, by the way, thanks for butchering it by reading it on the air badly. Hey, Phil, I'm listening to Jeff Dowder's Olympic update last night, and it hits me that this guy is probably nowhere near Greece right now and has probably been calling in these updates from someplace like Redondo Beach. I'm willing to bet dollars to donuts that we'll find out next that this is in fact the case. Pierre Dubois. Hey, Phil, my vote for the funniest line ever goes to Bob Green, who during his recent appearance captured his dismay regarding the two dudes, Governor Jim McGreevy and his alleged gay lover, with the line, two dudes sharing a parasol on a park bench while a brass band plays in an open-air pagoda. Robert Marks, New York City. Yeah, I like that bit. Phil, I began listening back in 2002 when I caught Ted Bell talking about the party he had at his restaurant celebrating the United States' victory over Mexico in the World Cup. me being of Mexican descent, I was shocked when he described dragging his Mexican busboy behind a truck in the parking lot just for fun, making his Mexican waitress strip on top of a table and putting the Mexican flag on toilet paper in his bathroom. It took me a while, but I figured out your show. I've been a loyal listener ever since. Thank you for all of your laughs. Chris M., Las Vegas, Nevada. Thank you very much for your letters and for your email, and you can send it to phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, man. We'll be right back with Bobby Dooley, a little taste from last night's show on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
From our show, you have the microphone on, son? We got Bobby Dooley from our show yesterday. Bobby, by the way, Chris is learning the operation of our board tonight. Chris is a native of New York who spent time in West Virginia, and he was just showing us his West Virginia driver's license and how fat he was when he was drinking beer at Mountaineer Stadium. That isn't the part of the driver's license that fascinated me. What's up with the picture behind? What is that, like pictures of mountain cabins and stuff? The West Virginia cabins? And Chris was telling me that in West Virginia, they have a mountain talk. Now, this is a what we call, I guess, a dialect of English. Much like the Cajun people in Louisiana have a sort of bastardized French Spanglish thing that they do. And, well, many of our friends in South Central, they talk, I'm kidding, I'm joking around. Anyway, so in the mountains of West Virginia, apparently they talk a kind of an English, like if you've ever been to Jamaica, I was with my girlfriend who was at the time, she was at that time black, she's now white. No, I was with her and her family is from Jamaica, so I was there with a family reunion. Man, I sat there all night long trying desperately to understand what was being said to me. Desperately! Just, I don't understand. I said to Yvonne, do you understand? Yeah, I understand what they're saying. He said, he's pressing it, man. That means he was going fast with the car. Me pressing it. The guy says, yeah, but down here, boom, son, me pressing it. So it's kind of like when you go to West Virginia, there's some folks up there, and they'll talk that, and I was pulling, Mississippi, there's a little section there off of Interstate 10. I pulled off the highway one time, and I don't know, there was a detour, because they were doing road construction. As I tried to get back on the interstate, I saw some state workers, some guys that were doing road work, and I asked them, do you know where the interstate picks up? And I swear to God, the guy looked, and it's like one of those things where you know he's speaking English, but it's kind of like if you've ever been to London, you ever been down in, go down to Soho or Chelsea, where the real Cockneys are, can't understand a word them Limeys is talking.
Roy, you can't smell the sanitary?
What?
What's your sauce in my flat, mate?
Yeah. Then they start looking pissed at you, like maybe you shouldn't have laughed. And you're like, what are you talking about, man?
What's that for, man? You yank, you bullet.
Ask this cop directions. Hey, man, you know where the subway is?
Well, it's only in the lane. You know that.
I might as well be in freaking Paris.
Yeah, they think you sound funny.
How could they think I sound funny?
What?
How could they think I sound funny?
Because you talk funny.
How do I talk funny? I'm talking English, aren't I?
Well, you are, but it isn't the same.
I know it ain't the same, man. I'm not talking the same as they're talking. I can't understand. Are they speaking English or not?
Yeah.
Okay, why can't I understand? Why can't I understand them?
That's your problem.
I don't even know why I'm talking to an idiot like you about it.
You're the retard who can't understand the mountain talk of the West Virginia people, and you call me a tard?
Anyway, Bobby Dooley was on our show, and Bobby was talking about how if George Bush is elected, her three darling boys might have to go off to Iraq to fight in the war, and her boys have much more to contribute to this world, unlike Sarah Johnson's son, or whatever the hell her name was. Her son stares at Bobby in a kind of a funny way, and she thinks that boy would be a perfect candidate for the military. Some kids are meant to die in Iraq. Here's Bobby.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I cannot believe. I missed the beginning of the conversation because I'm on the road traveling, and I like to listen to talk radio. Where does she live? What state?
I'm sorry?
What state do you live in?
I live in California.
Oh, okay, well, that's a lot. But
where do you live?
I live in North Carolina.
Well, then you are far more familiar with the Penn face than I am.
Oh, my God.
Well, first off, that is probably,
oh my God,
for the year of 2004, that has to be one of the most ignorant statements I have ever heard in my life.
You're not a woman.
I am 36 years old. Being a woman has nothing to do with it. Let me explain this to you, too. I don't care how hot you think you are. I have not seen you, but just because of your ignorance and the way you talk, you are the ugliest woman that I have ever come across.
That's a very good comment, Doug.
There is more beauty in someone with intelligence than someone that spews ignorance like you do. You said your boys painted swastikas on synagogues?
It was a youthful prank.
I don't care because I'm also Jewish. And I've got a problem with that because my kids don't go around spray painting the Star of David on churches.
Well, why are you offended? I don't understand.
The man's
why
Jewish.
Why am I offended? Because I'm Jewish. What is the color of the sky in your world?
What has that got to do with what my boys did?
They spray painted.
Your boys painted swastikas. Do you know what Adolf Hitler did in the 40s and the late
30s? First of all, they're called swastikas, not swastickers. Oh,
okay,
my God.
Ever. Let me explain something to you. 5 million, almost 6 million people died.
So I get
because of that emblem.
Look, I get out of my Escalade. I'm wearing my Juicy Couture pants.
I don't care.
And that boy starts licking the palm of his hand.
I don't care if you get out of your 727. I don't care if you get out of your plumber. What you need to do is take your boys,
Steve, turn it on.
And you need to give your boys a good whipping. That's what they need.
Well, in this part of the world, we don't give out, as you say, whippings.
And you know why? That's why your kid goes around painting swastikas on synagogues, because he has no control from his parents. Because his parents teach him that it's okay to call people pan-face. His parents teach him that the government is going to go out, make them, force them into the military.
That boy's got nothing to do with pot stickers.
Their heads cut off.
Not pot stickers. Swastikas is what the gentleman's saying.
Let me explain something else to you. The reason we got into Vietnam was because of John F. Kennedy, who was a Democrat.
That is I thought Eisenhower was president.
Eisenhower was president when we sent the first advisors in 59.
See, I told you.
Oh, what do you mean, see, I told you? Kennedy escalated it.
Kennedy and Johnson until 68.
Well, I don't know. Democrats are against war.
You don't know.
We're
you
against
don't
war.
Know, and that's your problem.
I don't
the problem
know.
is you don't know anything, but you're spewing rhetoric out of your pie hole when you don't know what you're talking about. That's your problem.
You're talking about my wife's hole.
Yeah, I am talking
all right,
about your wife.
You know something? Until a boy whose eyes, nose, and mouth are within a square inch of each other looks at you, then you don't know what you're talking about.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Bobby Dooley, one of the more unacceptable and disgusting people in this world. She'll be back again next Thursday night. Here's Bobby and Steve Dooley. Monday night, the Tim Robbins Report. The great actor will be with us. Last week he was discussing how, I believe he was discussing how John Kerry could have single-handedly won the war in Vietnam by slitting Ho Chi Minh's throat at his beach house if Richard Nixon hadn't called off the plan because he found out Kerry was a Democrat and didn't want him to get all the credit. Tim found that out while having a Japanese saliva rub with Michael Moore and Mike Farrell. So there's a lot you can learn while lying in a tub of mud. Ain't there. Coming up on Tuesday night, Margaret Gray's campaign 2004 report. Let me tell you about our website. It's www.philhenryshow.com. We have a souvenir shop. We have the deepest archive of radio comedy in the history of the business. We got it all, baby, and we got more. We got our Best Of CD, the Best Of the Year 2003, The Death of Talk Radio is our CD, and all of the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And we'll be coming out with that 2004 pretty quick. I want to thank tonight's guests, Tony Neal with his rotten reality show. What's it called? Beauty's Only Skin Deep, a real piece of crap. Ted Bell, crying about how he wants to have a middle school named after him because he donated 13 G's to his kid's school and he thinks he's dying of prostate cancer because it burns when he goes to the bathroom. What a tard. We'll see you Monday night, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.